Hello and welcome to Newsmakers on CHCH Podcast. I'm Louis Butko, and every once in a while on the show, we want to bring you behind the scenes to get to know the people you see and don't see that bring our broadcast to life. And with that, I'm pleased to be joined by Morning Live reporter Simone Gavros. And Simone, thank you for being on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
I have invited you several times on the podcast. This was like the first legitimate invitation, though.
Yes.
Normally, it's just like, Simone, you want to be on? But like we locked you in and you're here. So thank you.
Thanks so much. I know. I was so excited. I was like, this is so last.
And then you came on this set because like you're not usually here. You don't usually pop in like once you're done, unless you're in studio. We're going to get to what you do, obviously. You're out every morning. Sometimes you're in here. But to be in the studio to see our little set all set up, it looks pretty good.
It is really nice.
It looks legit. I think your words were, it looks like a real interview. I think that's how you described
it. It's a legit set.
Thank you.
I should let the people know.
Yes. Really okay. Cool. Hopefully people are watching on YouTube. But of course, they can listen wherever they get their favorite podcast. How long have you been at CH? This is over a year now, right? Or
it's
approaching a year?
Actually a year on April 25th.
Oh, no
so
way.
So it is coming up.
Oh, wow. I actually, I just kind of
thought
like,
you knew.
I didn't. God. So 2 days shy of a year.
Yep.
What has this experience been like for you?
Oh, my gosh. It's been absolutely incredible. I don't want to, you know, blow things out of proportion, but it has been an awesome opportunity. I wanted this like a reporter job for the longest time, and I kind of gave myself a deadline of a year once I got out of school to find a job like this. And yeah, I just applied everywhere, and CH gave me the opportunity. So yeah, it was really cool.
Well, even like the way it kind of happened, like you moved pretty quickly, VJ, part-time VJ. Then there were some changes in the morning show. And then the Morning Live reporter job kind of came open. You jumped at it.
Yes.
Knowing that it was going to be a long time of 2 a.m. alarms and all that. But just tell us about that decision and what that's been like in that very difficult shift for a young reporter like yourself.
It was a bit of a jump, but it was something that I was interested in already. And it was something that I was also told to kind of go for as well. Like other previous reporters were like, you're going to get the best experience going live in the morning. So yeah, I covered a couple times for Emily Taylor when she was away. And then it kind of presented itself where we were doing some switches in September, and I was asked if I wanted to do it. And I'm like, of course. So yeah, I mean, the time is the only thing that was a massive adjustment.
Yeah.
But once you get going in the morning, it's like not that bad. But yeah, my alarm goes off.
So let's go back. You said you went through school. You came to us from CTV Toronto. You were a Chase producer there for a bit. But take us back to that first time you thought, I want to be on TV. I want to be in the news. Because for a lot of us who are doing this, like it's a memory of like us as kids or something like that. For you, what was that moment that you were like, I want to do this for a career?
I think I was in grade 8, so I was like 13 or 14, and I knew that this was such a cool job. Like, you get to talk to people, and I was really invested. Like, my favorite things to do was watch the news at 6 p.m. Like, I would always tune in, and I would like have my favorite reporters and my favorite anchors, whereas like other people were, you know, having their favorite musicians or things like that, whereas I was really into the news. And then all through high school, we had like a specialist high school major in my high school, which was directly, you know, tailored to broadcasting. And again, like I would do our school announcements in grade 12, and I was anchoring that. And so it was just something that I was really into.
Were they video announcements?
Yes.
Okay. See, like, and like, I know you're a few years younger than me, but I'm like, I'm not that old, but like my announcements were holding like one of those pickup phones.
Yeah. No.
Like you guys had video, the specialist high schools majors. I remember that program was when I was in high school again. Like, I feel like when I start that sentence with when I was in high school, but it was just coming out, and it was more like technical, woodworking, plumbing, things like that. It was more those kinds of skills. To know that program has developed to broadcasting and that, you know, that comm tech, I think.
Yeah, it was like IT, like information technology,
yeah,
which is what it was kind of broadcasted, or I guess, you know.
So what was your path? So post high school, this is what you wanted to do.
Yeah.
Like I said, I also did the announcements grade 12, right? Like, Good
right
Morning Crosley.
Yes.
Did you get that big, you had the big opening?
Good Morning STL. That's
Morning
what
STL. Good Morning Crosley. That was my one. Like, but again, it was all audio. So post high school, what was your path?
So I went to what is now known Toronto Metropolitan University, and I did the specialist, or I did radio and television arts, so RTA media production, because there's three different like distinctions from that program. So that was 4 years of university, and I wanted to do my master's in journalism, and I only applied at the same university because I was like, if I get it, I get it. If I don't, then like I'll just start looking for jobs. But yeah, then I did, and that was all through the pandemic. So I did my master's as well. So I have 6 years of education for this job under my belt for this.
Yeah. Wow. That's incredible. I didn't know you did your master's in journalism.
I did. Yes.
That's very cool.
For 2 years. Yeah.
So you're here at CH. When you look back at the last 363 days, how do you feel like you've grown as a journalist? How do you feel like you've grown as a person in that time?
Oh my gosh. I think this has just been an incredible, unique experience all in one, because it's so many firsts. Like, it's, you know, the first time as a reporter on air, having like, you know, the confidence in yourself to make a lot of editorial decisions, because that's a lot what's on Morning Live, is that, you know, there's, you're really checking in with producers, but you're also, you know, having to make quick decisions while you're out there. So that's something, like having that confidence in myself to make decisions has been something that I've noticed. But also, like, this is my first time living on my own and moving out to a new city, which isn't that far from where I'm from. But, you know, it's being on my own and like learning how to navigate all this has been a really great experience overall. And I'm happy it started when I did. Like, I started in April, so like it wasn't that cold. I didn't have to worry about the snow.
Yeah.
So it was like a nice gradual experience to getting into it. And yeah, it's just been so fun.
As a woman in broadcasting, I feel like you're fortunate, especially here. You mentioned Emily Taylor, Nicole Martin. I mean, like the women who have had that position before you, a lot of them, you know, some of them still here in the building, you know, Annette, somebody that you can rely on in the morning, especially at that time of day to ask questions. And as a young journalist, what has it meant to you to, with the people who are in this building, women and men, but the people who are in this building help you get to who you are right now?
I think there are so many people here that have so many different paths in their, you know, journalism career. Like, I know Annette has a lot of background in like crime reporting, so a lot of the time I will check in with her because that's something I'm interested in too. So it's really cool to be able to get firsthand experience and get her take on things, but also checking in with Emily Taylor because we're the same age, so it's nice. She has many more years experience on, you know, in journalism than I do, but it's nice to have that same commonality and then being able to, you know, just bond over things that we both went through. But yeah, it's really cool to be able to have people that you can trust in the newsroom. And I think that's the best thing about CH, is that we are very close and we are able to kind of like, you know, be vulnerable and be like, hey, I got a question about like something I don't know how to cover or something I've never covered before. How do you go about it? Because that's really, you know,
which is scary to think, like when you hear these stories about like the cutthroatness of the industry, and like, I'm not helping you. What do you mean? Like, get your own sources. That doesn't really happen here, and it would be scary, especially like being a journalist now, you know, in this social media age, and even yourself, you mentioned, you know, being a bit on the younger side, that Morning Live reporter, a lot of the times you're on the scene of something that had happened overnight, which means you're usually the first on the scene. Yeah. What sort of adjustment is that like? Because it is, you know, not triggering, but it is desensitizing sometimes to be that not first responder, but I sometimes say we're second responders, right? We are the second people on the scene telling them what happened. What's that been like for you?
I think I personally, that's like one of my favorite things to cover, is the newness and the freshness of it is even more enticing because no one has covered it yet. So like I can make the story, you know, find the facts and everything and dig that all myself, versus, you know, being handed information before and having to add that into the story as well and making sure all those facts are there. But that was also a learning curve in itself, because you didn't know how to cover a fire, or like you didn't know how to interview police live. Like those are the things that you do learn and you have to learn quickly. And then once you do it a couple times, it's fine. But yeah, being there first is definitely like a very raw and like challenging experience, because there's so many emotions, especially as you're trying to get information from people, but also, you know, juggling police and fire and trying to get all the information from them at the same time while you're meeting your own deadlines. It's all, you know, trying to get it all together at once is yeah, it's crazy.
Back to sort of the mentorship. Who is somebody in your career, whether it was at school, whether it was before school, who's somebody that you've looked up to in terms of that's what I want to do? Did you ever reach out to whoever that person is? What was that experience like?
My, like, I guess, big journalism goal was always Michelle Dubé from CTV. She was someone I did look up to, who also happened to start here at CHC.
Wow.
So I think, I don't know, starting here, you know, and getting like all these skills. But yeah, she is someone I really looked up to. I loved her storytelling. I did, when I worked in the building as her, like I did see her in the hall. So like, that was always like a starstruck moment. I'm like, oh my God, it's Michelle Dubé. But I did reach out because there was a lot of like, because this industry is all about networking. So there was a lot of reaching out to other reporters. And there was even a point where like I was thinking about going to the States and like reaching out to people in the States and like that kind of stuff. And you have to be comfortable with kind of being uncomfortable almost and just cold calling or cold emailing. Mm. But I was grateful that through education, I was able to have a whole bunch of internships at a multitude of like different stations, like CTV. I was at Breakfast Television and, you know, CBC for a bit. Like I was able to get my...
We're going to have to bleep all these out, by the way. You can't mention other places on the CHCH podcast.
But I'm here, which is important.
Yeah, absolutely. What was the best piece of advice you've gotten in this business?
Oh, that's a good question. The best piece of advice?
Or what's a piece of advice that, you know, maybe not specifically you... you know, that sticks with you, but something that you think of every day, every time you put together a story. Is there something that you're always thinking like, okay, this is how you tell a good story?
I think sometimes it's like, I don't know what people would tell me. I think it's just like making sure that, you know, putting people first is also something that I always try to make sure. And that was something that was always instilled in school as well, was like making sure that there is a person at the heart of the story at the end of the day. Yeah. And just remembering that, mostly we are talking about people, so just remembering that there are real emotions that are being dealt with right now, and you have to be mindful of that, even if, you know, you are racing to a story and you just want to get like everything all at once, you also have to bring it back and, you know, not try to sensationalize anything for fear that you might hurt others in the process.
You gave me a compliment for a great question. I gave you a compliment for a great answer.
Oh,
that was a great answer.
Thank you.
The thing about being on television, and I've talked about this with other people, is that you know, people can sometimes be mean on the internet. People can sometimes take a flub or, you know, you're live. I've been live. It's happened where, you know, you misspeak or, you know, maybe you repeat yourself. What? How do you deal with that? How do you, as somebody who grew up on social media, who like knows the internet, knows, was always told just to ignore the haters, all that stuff. How do you deal with it?
Honestly, I think I'm my biggest critic because I will notice like when I stumble over my words or when, you know, like I meant to say this and I didn't say that. And I'll just be really hard on myself after the fact. But then I also think like no one cares. Like no one's sitting there being like, remember when Simone said like this street instead of like avenue? Yeah. I think I try not to check the comments. I try not to check the Facebook
pages. We all try.
I know, but I do find myself like it's in the regular rotation of like, all right, oh, there's like 9 new posts. Wonder what's up. But
It's such a like relatable feeling of like, because like usually it is 9 plus
it's
new.
Nine plus.
It's always 9 plus new posts. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but I think at the end of the day, like people are just watching and they don't understand us as a team. And I think that's even some, like one thing I do say is when people do approach like in public, people will have their own take or they'll say like, you know, like they'll make their own comments about the team and you'll be like, but no, they're actually wonderful people. Like you don't know what you're talking
about. That's the hard part. And if you're listening to this as somebody who is who thinks that we want to hear you talk bad about our coworkers, it is our team. It is our family. Yeah. We go through a lot in this building. I am very, very unreceptive to criticism about my coworkers. One thing, well, you got something to say about me? Like, go, I'll brush my hair with a pork chop? Sure. Sure. I've heard it before. I've heard it all before. Laura Brody made sure I saw that one.
Oh my goodness. People are ruthless.
No, but like, cause that is, especially like, you know, we, like you said, we grew up on the internet. Yeah. So like we kind of know that it's there, but I do like what you said about being your toughest critic. Mm-hmm. Cause also I feel like that sometimes insulates you, that it doesn't matter what you say about me. Yeah. I've already thought that, buddy. I already know.
Already 10 steps ahead of you.
How do you feel? And we kind of going back to this, you know, talking about that is it being a year, like when you watch that, I was going to ask you, like, do you remember your first reporter, like your first like pack
here? Yes.
What was it?
Oh, it was awful. It was on LCBO bags being phased out, which they're trying to bring them back.
You got to do the follow-up.
I know.
Now. You got to do the follow-up.
But yeah, I was being trained by Matt Ingram, and I was like getting down to like the last second, and we couldn't find the right like file viz of the bags, and we just like spliced it together, and I had to do my voiceover in the newsroom, like in front of everyone. And there was one point where
this is my first pack ever.
Yeah. And there was one point where like someone was like, just get her to do it in the sound booth. Why are you making her do it in front of everyone? But yeah, I did my stand up, all that. Nothing was live just yet. But yeah, that was my first pack.
And we have it right now. No, we don't. I wanted to, I didn't know what it was. I could have tried to find it, but it would have been great if we had it and I played it.
If you're like, there it is.
Well, Simone, couple of things. Morning Live this summer. I feel like it's on the schedule, so we can tell people.
Yeah.
You're gonna be on the desk for a little bit this summer.
I am. Yes, I'm so excited.
Yeah, you're gonna be filling in for Annette during some vacation, June 10th. Mm-hmm. Which is unfortunate because I'm gonna be filling in for Tim.
I know.
During some points.
We just missed it. I know.
Tim and Annette couldn't take their vacation at the same time.
No.
But I'm glad that we got this time on the desk.
I know. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Absolutely.
This is so great.
Anytime. I know you're very busy. It's the end of your shift.
Yes.
And there's pizza coming reportedly today.
It's the best day.
So I know maybe if by the time we're out of here, there might be pizza. But thanks for doing this. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Louis.
No problem. Yeah, thank you. Oh, thanks. See, it's fun to be on the podcast.
It's always great.
You want to be on the podcast. But my appreciation to Laura Brody, who directed today's show. She is going to be a guest. I swear. She is going to be a guest on this show one day soon. I promise you that. So my thanks to Laura Brody for directing. My thanks to Simone Gavros for joining me. And my thanks to you, because we could not do the show without your support. Make sure you like and subscribe to CHCH Podcast so you never miss an episode of this show or any of the other shows we have for you, including Sportsline with Bubba O'Neill. You can catch that every Monday to Friday here on CHCH. And again, wherever you find your favorite podcast or chch.com/podcast. From all of us here at CHCH, I'm Louis Bucko. Have a great day.